Thank you for having me tonight. Good to be back with everyone. Really is. Brings back a lot of memories. I guess the first time I ever heard this song was here. And I think it is a favorite of Reidsville. And certainly has made an impression on me. So an honor to God and His Son, as well as His people here. We'll try this one. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns His face away as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon His shoulder. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held Him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has taught me life. I know that it is finished. And I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom. Yes, this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom. Thank you. Amen to that. This was supposed to be a challenge to all of you. That's what Steve just said. And when Jeff called me about a month and a half ago, he asked me to issue a challenge to all of us. So what we'll do is we'll challenge ourselves. So when old Mark's giving out the scripture tonight, he's challenging himself. Now, I know that every one of us, if you're like me, you like this time of year because you do sort of get a fresh start. I'm not a good goal keeper, but I'm a good goal setter. And so I like to look ahead and say, you know, there's hope for the coming year. Don't want to make the same mistakes I made last year. Want to be better off when I'm standing here, if you invite me back, when I'm standing here next year than when I'm standing here this year. Okay? And all of us have different goals for the year. I'm sure many of us could say, you know, I'd like to do this or that. Very, very many areas. So for me tonight to go to one portion of Scripture, I thought, well, you know, maybe that might be too much of me and what the Lord would have me to do if I just went from one portion. So what I've decided to do was to go from various portions of the Bible and give us some challenges for the year. You know, one of the great challengers of the Bible was Caleb. You know, Caleb in the book of Joshua said, I'm 85 years old. And he said, I saw this land years ago. He said, I'm just like I was then. He said, I want a mountain. I want this mountain. Remember that story? Later on, Caleb, it's recorded in two places actually. He issues another challenge to some young men. He says, whoever takes Kirjath Sefer, I'll give him my daughter Aksa to wife. An old fellow named Othniel jumped on it. I'll take it. Good land and a wife to boot. Can't beat that. Caleb had never taken Kirjath Sefer. He couldn't give the details to Othniel, but he could issue a challenge. And so when I'm giving you some challenges tonight, it's not because Mark has met the challenges. It's just because, well, I want to meet them. Okay? And these are some good things. There are five. I want to give you five. Okay? And it's not going to be anything great. So get back off the edge of your seats and relax. Okay? These are things that you'll be familiar with. There's going to be a lot of Scripture. Okay? It's one thing I appreciate. Both brethren that were up here, I truly appreciated that. Thomas, and where's the other brother? Raise your hand. There he is. What's your name? Joe. I appreciate it. Ground your testimony in Scripture. Scriptural testimonies, that's where it's at. And, you know, we can all tell exciting stories, but nothing like a biblical testimony. You know? That's where it is, the Word of God. And so we'll look at a lot of Scripture tonight. five challenges for you. They're going to be simple. But you'll know where they're from, I hope. You better, okay? You better know your Bibles. First one, buy gold. Buy gold. Somebody tell me where it's at. Gotcha. Thank you, brother. Revelation chapter 3. Turn there with me. Revelation chapter 3. This is a challenge for us in this coming year. Challenge number one. So, Mark, you're preaching hard here. You're going to call us Laodiceans. Well, yeah. We're definitely in that age. Please look with me at verse 18. The Lord Jesus says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. There it is. You know, the book of Revelation in these early chapters is about seven churches. Various ways of looking at those. Church history, perhaps. The seven stages, so-called, of church history. Seven churches that existed at the time of the writing. Seven churches which reflect the state of churches throughout every age. I think you'll all agree to that. Here is a church that has lost the knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. And in losing the knowledge of who Christ is, when we do that, the perception of ourselves, and I should be turning that on, okay. The perception of ourselves will increase. And that's exactly what had happened. Verse 17, because you say, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. They had a better estimate of themselves than of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's get real here. Search your heart. Who are you looking after? Where do your resources go to? Where does all your time get invested? I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. They were ignorant to the estimate of themselves by the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't know, he said. You're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Buy gold, tried in the fire. You know about gold. First time it's mentioned in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, it's good. Gold is good. Gold was a symbol of wealth. Gold was worn. Here's an interesting thing about gold. The more it's tested, and the more it's tried, the purer it becomes. It just purifies it. And guys, the more we grow in Christ and the more our knowledge of Him is gained, the more magnificent He becomes to us by gold. Philippians chapter 3, Paul said, that I may know Him in the fellowship of His sufferings. May I know Him in the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ here is presented to him. Look at this verse 14, Revelation 3. He says to them, these things saith the Amen. They had forgotten who Christ was. The Amen of God. 2 Corinthians, we did a study the book of 1 and 2 Corinthians. I want you to turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians, please. Or excuse me, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And let's read these together. Verse 18. But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea and amen. The very essence of the Scripture, the total of Scripture, is about the Lord Jesus Christ. In the volume of the book, he said, it is written of me. All things in him are true. God, the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily in Christ. No need to be ashamed of the Lord Jesus in these days of confusion. For all God's promises in him are amen. Revelation 3 says, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true, and the word is martyr. He who has been through it all. He who was subjected to all the fiery trial of men. He who withstood it all. And the more he was subjected, the more he fulfilled Scripture. Remember, Peter said, you have fulfilled the Scriptures in condemning him. There on the cross, the Bible says, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. He said, I thirst. In all that he did, in all that men thrust at him, it was fulfillment of God's plan. He's faithful and true. I can't say enough about him.
He is the beginning of the creation of God. And Paul would tell us in Colossians that by Him, our whole entire universe is held together. He upholds all things by the word of His power. God in these last times has invested all revelation in Him. He's the heir of all things. He's the brightness of the glory of God. The exact representation of His person. Upholding all things by the word of His power. And when He by Himself purged our sins, He sat down at the right hand. That's where He is right now. As sure as we're here. The estimate of Christ. You can't try Him enough. Buy gold, says the Scripture. One writer has said this. Said it matters not in the least what a man's position may be. He may only be a scavenger. He may be a prince. Or he may stand at any one of the many gradations between these two extremes. It is all the same, provided Christ is real, his only object. It is a man's object, not his position, that gives him character. Buy gold. Your estimation of Christ. Second one. They all start with B, by the way. I'm not copying Warren Wiersbe, but he's got the B series. These just all start with B. Here's my second one. Build. Build. What in the world? It's my challenge to me this year. Be a builder. Acts chapter 20, please. Acts chapter 20. Here's a builder. A couple of principles in building here. Familiar story again, I hope, to Paul, who God had said made him a wise master builder. Verse 32, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance of all them which are sanctified." Now, old Paul was in the business of building here. A couple ways the word's translated in our New Testaments. It's edify and it's build. But I want you to look at this text and see what he had done. Verse 18, he says, "You know from the first day that I came into Asia after what manner I have been with you at all seasons. I made myself available to you." I love the book of 2 Corinthians because it was about the ministry of God. And the ministry of God was, "Here I am for you. I'm your servant for Christ's sake." Is that where? Do you have someone or somebody that you're building in this way? Look at this, verse 19. "Serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations." It was not about me being some super spiritual guy and being very superior to you. "I'll teach you, young feller or young lady." No. It's about my tears and my temptations, my openness to you. Hey, it didn't matter. He crossed racial lines. Let's look at verse 20 again. "I kept nothing back that was profitable unto you." I didn't try to skip over verses. I didn't try to make it palatable. I didn't try to schmooze you by skipping over and putting emphasis here, emphasis there. It was all profitable. "And I went to your house." Look at that. From house to house. You go to people's houses. It's where they live. "Testifying," here it is, crossing racial lines, "to both Jews and to Greeks. All the same to me." They're all God's vessels of grace. Those who He's given His Son for. Verse 20. I did not shun to declare unto you the counsel of God. Interesting word here. Counsel. It's not the word we get for doctrine. It's not, "Hey, I gave you the seven dispensations. I gave you the seven feasts. I gave you the all the names of God. Hey, that's good stuff. This is a different word. This is purpose. This is advice. This is, what am I going to do in my job? What am I going to do about my wife who's not a believer? What am I going to do about my kids? What am I going to do about situations here and situations there? I gave you the counsel of God. That's how you build people. You prepare to do that. Build. Verse 31, he says, it was 3 years I was with you. It wasn't, hey, got a week of meetings there, really did them good. You know? Boy. Not to cast any darkness or bad things on people that come for a week of meetings. We appreciate their time. But man, it's about going to people's houses. It's about living among them. It's about letting them see you. That's building. I warned you every night and day with tears. It's the last time someone came to you emotional about the things of God and the purpose of God in your life. That's building. Verse 35, I've showed you all things. I exhibited them, literally. I exhibited them right under your eyes. A builder or a wrecker, as I watched them tear a building down, a gang of men in a busy town, with a heave-ho, a lusty yell, they swung a beam and the side wall fell. I asked the foreman, are these men skilled? And the men you hired, if they wanted to build? He gave a laugh and said, no, indeed, just common labor is all I need. I can easily wreck in a day or two, and what builders have taken years to do. I thought to myself as I went my way, which of these roles have I tried to play? Am I a builder who works with care, measuring life by rule and square? Am I shaping my work to a well-made plan, patiently doing the best I can? Or am I a wrecker who walks the town content with labor of tearing down? O Lord, let my life and my labors be that which will build for eternity. Buy gold, build. Here's another one for you, a B. Now this is a B. Be in the way. Somebody tell me where that's at. Be in the way. I know you guys know it. Absolutely, bro. Who said that? The tie. Candy. Yes, absolutely. Let's turn to that passage in the book of Genesis, chapter 24. Be in the way. And I like this. You know why I like this passage? Here's why I like this passage. Because I've always been convicted. You know, I felt bad about these people that would come up and they'd say, well, God gave me a vision up there on that hill that this was going to happen and 30 years ago and boom, there it is. And I'm going, man, you know, He never showed me a hill to have a vision on. I've never seen anything where I said, you know, I can see years from now, there it is. There's nothing wrong with that, and God will equip people to do that. But guys, some of us just need to be in the way. And that's what this servant was. Look at, I was at Mountaintop a couple of years ago with the summer staff, and I got to share with them about servanthood. And it's wonderful. The New Testament uses five different words for servanthood. And it's powerful. There's the public servant. There's the bond servant. There's the table waiter. There's the guy that sits in the galley, the bottom of the ship and just rows. And all these Greek words are used. And then there's the household servant who's a steward. That's what you have here. Verse 2, his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had. Paul says this. He says, look, let a man so account of us as stewards of the mysteries of God. That's what you are. Be in the way. You've got a stewardship. I don't care who you are. You've got a stewardship. If you haven't recognized that, there's something wrong. Now, what was the stewardship about? You can figure it out. Verse 3, look on down the passage. Thou shalt not take a wife unto my son. Look at verse 4.
to my kindred, take a wife to my son. Look at verse 6. Beware that thou bring not my son. Verse 7. Thou shalt take a wife to my son. Verse 8. Only bring not my son. You reckon what he's about? What the stewardship was about? It was about his son. And he prayed for prosperity. He was about the business of the son. Look at what it says in verse 27. He said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abram, who had not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." I was just in the way. Get in the way. Be in the way. Be there. You know, I got to tell this story. I'm not lifting you up, Brother Ben. I want to tell you something. I thought about Benny in this. Now, close your head down. Years ago, a friend of mine, Barry Atkins, and a lot of you remember Barry and knew him. Him and another friend named Tracy Staley, they rented a house at the corner of Burnett's Chapel and Drake Road. It's a big white two-story house. You couldn't see it from the woods. They didn't have heat. And they went there and, you know, we were going to Shannon Hills. And it was a little bit of a culture shock to us in some respects. We were raw as raw could be. And we would just get together and we'd try to talk about the things of the Lord, and we'd pray and we'd do various things. And I went by one night, and there sat Benny in the kitchen talking to Tracy. And you know, there was a legacy there that, you know, there was a time, and there was a time years ago I was going through some struggles, and Benny pulls up in my driveway. You know, did you have a great vision? You were going to see Mark Beebe standing up here? No, you're just in the way. Just in the way. I being in the way, the Lord led me. And you didn't know that, but that's the way it works. At the end of the story, verse 56, he said unto them, "Hinder me not, seeing the Lord has prospered my way." The Lord has prospered my way. There's a story. You guys have heard of Jack Wurtzen, Word of Life. Jack Wurtzen didn't have a college education, didn't have any great vision for what he did. Someone asked him one day, he said, "Well, did you have a vision of what God was going to do? Did you have a plan in your mind?" The answer was always the same. Jack would say no. He didn't have a plan, didn't really have a clue in the early days what God wanted to do through Word of Life. He and others set out to believe God, win the lost, reach young people, and disciple them for Christ. That's Harry Ballback. And Jack often used this phrase to describe how things happened in the early days. "I being in the way, the Lord led me." Guys, make yourself available. Be here. Be in the Word. And God will prosper your way. And you don't have to wreck your mind about what His will be. Buy gold. Build. Be in the way. Here's another one. It's personal to me. Bitterness. Root it out. Root it out. Ephesians chapter 4 says this, "And don't tell me it doesn't affect you. We're all human beings. In human interaction, in human conflict, things happen. It may be between a parent and child. It may be between a husband and wife. It may be between a father or a grandfather. It may be between any kind of relationship. But things will happen, and they won't get resolved. Get it out. Get it out." Ephesians 4, Paul says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." James would say this in his epistle. He says, does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. And listen to me. Though the context is a little different in Hebrews chapter 12, but that's a classic passage we go to.
because it talks about a root of bitterness. And while the context, I think, is a little different, what he's talking about, it does give you, in that passage, the nature of bitterness. I remember I walked into the veterinarian one day, and he's got this jar. You've seen that jar in the veterinarian's office? And he tries to sell you heartworm medicine. And it's this clump of flesh, and it's got this, looks like an endless spaghetti noodle wrapped around that heart. And it started as a mosquito bite. It started as a small thing. Root it out. Writer says, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. And many are affected by the root of bitterness. Someone has said bitterness is the offspring of an unhealed wound whose parents are unforgiveness and time. The longer you allow the root of bitterness to grow in the soil of your heart, the more love it will devour. You got to forgive. Paul says to the Ephesians, here's the remedy. Be kind, tender-hearted, tender-hearted. We're studying Pharaoh. Hard-hearted. Hard-heartedness will ultimately bring you darkness. That's what it brought him. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted. And here's the real key, forgiving. How do I forgive? As God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Bitterness, root it out. What have we said? I want you to buy gold, estimation of Christ. I want you to build, invest in someone. I want you to be in the way. I want you to root out bitterness. And here's the last one. Nothing's original with me. I got this from someone else. But it's good. This is all personal stuff. Somebody tell me where this one is. This will generate some discussion. Break your box. Break your box. Alabaster box. Where's it at? 12. Okay, that's right. It's in two places, actually. Let's look at the one in Mark first. Mark chapter 14. This is a good one, guys. Buy some gold. Build. Be in the way. Bitterness rooted out. Break your box. After 2 days, Mark 14 was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread. And the chief priests and the scribes thought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, no, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as she sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. She broke the box, poured it on his head. You know, there's so much here. There's worship. There's fragrance. But here's the point I want to make to you guys. There are so many of us in our Christian life that we are bound. We're bound up. We're bound up perhaps by tradition. We're bound up by the opinions of others. They would never do that here. Break a box? No one would ever come in here and break a box. Stink up the place, keep our carpet clean. Just kidding. We don't have carpet in Randleman yet. But we have to sweep when we get done because our kids spill cookies on the floor. But she was bold. She did something different. Look, what the others said when she did it. There were some that had indignation within themselves. Why was this waste of ointment made? Hey, they may come up with good reasons. Why? You know, I thought about this. Look at Look at William Carey, great missionary, Adoniram Judson, Hudson Taylor. All these guys were told not to go. You remember when we went to New Orleans? The only time I ever met Vernon, I don't usually use him in illustrations because I don't know all the stories Jeff does, but I do remember this. He said when he was up in Minnesota, they went to the elders of the assembly and said, "We got to go to New Orleans." He said the elders told him not to go. Wouldn't you like to meet those elders now? Don't go.
No, don't go.
They told Jim Elliot, not Jim, stay, man. Stay. You can preach in our assemblies. We need young guys like you in our assemblies to come preach. No. He broke his box. He did it for Christ. Hey, here's a good one. If you decide to do it, guys, do something. Go into an area of service that you've long wanted to go into. Sing. Stand up and preach. Reach out. Don't worry about what the others say. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ is your advocate. He's for you. He was for this woman. He said, "Leave her alone." Boy, if he says leave her alone, you better leave her alone. He says leave her alone. He'll say leave you alone if it's done for him. Why trouble you her? She's wrought a good work on me. You say, man, I could never influence people. You stand for Jesus Christ in boldness against the grain. From a heart of overflowing worship, you'll influence people. The fragrance filled the house. And Jesus said it this way. He said, hey, wheresoever the gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this that she's done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Influence she never intended. When people see reality, man, that's when you influence them. What turns people off is formality. What turns people off is parroting the line. You know, man, you know, we study the Scripture and sometimes it's just the same phrases over and over again. That's good to be reminded of that. But study it afresh. It's inexhaustible. Break it open. Oh, there's so many illustrations. Paul said this. We studied 2 Corinthians and I thought about this. He says, now thanks be unto God, which causes us always to triumph in Christ. When we're in Christ, Paul said to the 2 Corinthians, look, man, we were in distress. We had troubles. We had fightings within, fears without. We had all kinds of stuff. We were pressed, out of measure. All kinds of things were happening to us. We were just human, but we triumphed in Christ. And here's what he said. And makes manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. That's what you need to do. Manifest the savor of His knowledge. You'll have influence. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are a savor of death unto death. To the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? Nobody is sufficient. God is our sufficiency. It's a little poem I came across a couple years ago. It's called Mary of Bethany. I'm going to read you a couple of lines from it. You know, Mary was noted for sitting at the feet of the Lord, even when her sister ragged on her. You're not doing the most important thing. We got all this to do. She just wants to sit at His feet all the time. That's the best place. Best place to be. I behold the words of wisdom as I take my usual seat, content to sit so lovingly beside my Master's feet. The outward doesn't matter, just the motive of my heart. He taught me oh so many things right from the very start. Skipping down. I anointed His feet with myrrh, an ointment oh so rare. It was all I had to offer, and I wiped them with my hair. My ears of understanding saw the glory we shall see when we let go and just become what we were born to be. For love is what He taught me. Pure love is what we need. For He was love made flesh. That's why He came to plant the seed. When we learn to love each other, we can take our rightful seat. We can all then sit so lovingly beside our Master's feet. Break your box. Be bold for Christ. Be bold for Him. Be bold in the presence of other believers. Be confident. He's for you. Here it is. Buy gold. Build. Be in the way. Bitterness root out. Break your box. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank You for the exhortations from Your Word. Help us to meet the challenges of the coming year. Oh God, we would pray, and we say this with hearts so in need of repentance, hearts so in need of purity and holiness. Hearts, Father, that are indeed deceitful above all things, but we say it anyway, Father. We say it to You. We want to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We want this year to be, as our brother shared earlier, to live as Christ and to die as gain. Make it be so, for His name's sake, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.